Good morning. Here's a word for you this morning from the Lord. I love you. I love you. And as you we're to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength, he also loves us in the same manner. But we have to learn how to love him first so that we can actually love one another. Hey, Debbie, how are you? My friend Debbie, how are you? Good to see you. She invested a lot into my life, and I hope I invested some into hers and Randy's. A little bit. Oh, no, not Randy. Oh, my God. He actually showed up. How about that? Love you too, man. I love you whether you like it or not, so there. Anyway, it's good to see you all this morning. Thanks for showing up. I showed up, so, you know, I'm not using my computer, which I've tried to do the last few times I've chatted, but it's a little easier for me to handle paper. So I brought a whole bunch of notes this morning. You know, one, I may throw that one away, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I just, first of all, I want to thank all of you for being so gracious to me and my time back here. A little emotional this morning. Sorry. But it was 7 years ago this day at about 11:50-something, I forget the exact time, that Gail passed on to go to the Lord. So it's a little hard for me today. But God has given me a new hope by the name of Tikva, which means hope. So I hope this all works out. Anyway, I want to talk about, I don't know what I want to talk about, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead me if that's possible. I think it's possible. If I let him, it'll be possible. So there's been so many good things that have happened to me since I've come back. And first of all, I want to thank John and Joyce Pettit for hosting me. Thank you, guys. In their home, we actually have a bed, a place to lay my head. When I get to New York City on Thursday, I'll be homeless again till I get to Israel. And then I have a nice hard bed there. We have hard beds in Israel because it's a hard life there sometimes, you know. Can you witness to that, Catherine? Amen. We have this bed that's made out of wood with slats, and we have a mattress about that thick. That's the normal bed that we get, but there are those that can afford beds with mattresses that thick, you know. But we don't get those for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to say that I'm so proud of you guys for maintaining the fellowship of God here, maintaining this house, and maintaining order in this house, maintaining love in this house, maintaining the focus of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord, because that's the focus. Don't major on the minors, major on the major. Yeshua is the major, Jesus is the major that we need to be focusing on. And so I want to read a little bit from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. Going the wrong way, sorry. Just my 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And several other scriptures that come to mind as I'm sitting there adding to my notes that I had. I thought my notes were perfect, but they're never perfect. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll get there in a minute. You guys are probably already there. You're much faster than I am. You know, I used to hate it when I watched my grandmother lick her fingers and turn her Bible. I thought, boy, that's really terrible. She's getting germs all over. So, anyway, I don't know what it is about our fingers at this age, but, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to turn the pages. You young folks don't have that problem, I know. So, anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse I'm going to read from verse 9, starting there, with the most wonderful thing that we know is God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but you may be made complete in the same mind, in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, or, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? No, he has not. Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, whoever they were, that no man should say you were baptized in my name. So my point is this, that we cannot major on the minors of doctrine and such things. We have to major on the major, which is Jesus Christ. And we're only called to do one thing. We're called to the Great Commission, which has become the Great Omission. The Great Commission is that we go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, no matter who they are, every person, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. We're called to preach the gospel. And that's the primary call for us. We're called to make disciples. We're called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And that's the most important thing that we can do. And those of us that are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers have that primary call to equip the saints with all those who believe to do the work of the ministry. To do the work of the ministry is not the man that's standing up here or the woman that's standing up here, but it's each and every one of us. We have a responsibility to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, all these things, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, success if you want it. I am very successful in my life. I have nothing. So, you know what? Don't need anything, because he's provided everything for me over the years. It's been amazing how God has been faithful to me, to just because I've tried to be faithful to him. And I want to be faithful to him in all things. So I just say that to you this morning because it's important. I believe, as I have believed when I left here, that we're actually living in the times of restoration of all things. What does that mean? All things mean what? Hallelujah, you got it. All things mean all things. So I've wrote down a few things that I think need to be restored in the body of Christ. First and foremost is the foundation. What is the foundation of our faith? What is that foundation? Who is that foundation? Is it a structure? Is it a building? No, no way. So anyway, I've said this many, many times. I've gone over to the wall and I've said this. You are not the church. And it isn't. This is just a place where we reside, where we come together to congregate, to love one another, to share God's heart with one another, because that is so important. So what brought me into the kingdom of God? Love. I didn't know a thing about love. I had no idea what love was. In fact, I went through two relationships before marrying Gail, which I knew nothing about love until God just transformed my heart over a period of time. He kept working and working and working on. I kept praying and praying and praying and pulling in and pressing into him. And so once you come into that place, you find love, you find intimacy, you find that it's really not about you, but it is about you in the sense that he wants to reflect his life in you. He wants to live his life in you and through you. And that's the most important thing that we can remember that we can do as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. And if I say Yeshua HaMashiach, it's only because I'm going to be speaking Hebrew again in about 6 days. Hallelujah. So hallelujah, what's it to you? Anyway, God bless you. So, I want to read a couple other things here. I want to go to, these are notes I wrote down while y'all were worshiping. Ephesians 4:3. I just want to bring some things to your remembrance, not that you don't know these things, because you do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. Is that okay? Because we like to read scripture. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in the manner worthy of your calling, of which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. We need to show forbearance to one another in love. That's so, so important. It says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Well, that's so vital and so important for us. But to each one is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we got to remember that we are a body. And if you feel like you're the head of the body, well, you ain't. You ain't the head, and I ain't the head. And a pastor or leader or whoever's up here ain't the head. And that ain't isn't in the Greek that I know of. Is that right, Ed? Ain't in the Greek. So anyway, we're not the head. There's only one head of the body, and that's Jesus Christ. And without the head, I'm going to say this because I've said it before. Without the head, the body is dead. You cut off the head, the body's dead. They like to do that in the Middle East as part of their practices. You know, without the head, the body's dead. So if we don't focus on the head, we have no life. We have no life in the body. So I'm going to prophesy this morning that this place will grow. This place will come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, because there is a heart here to equip the saints. And that's what Gail and I actually started this whole thing about, was to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And if they don't like that, then you're probably in the wrong place. You know, so there. Hallelujah, I've said it. Here's what the Lord, this is kind of something. The oneness of the triune God is what our foundation is. The oneness of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we don't have that foundation, we have no foundation. So the oneness of the triune God is the foundation. The Father contains all three. The Father contains all three. All three contain the Father. Because the Father sent the Holy Spirit. It was a promise of the Father that he sent the Holy Spirit. So he sent his Spirit of holiness into the land, into us, so to teach us holiness, to be set apart by God for a purpose on the earth, to introduce others to him through us, through our lives, through our lifestyle, through the way that we do things, through the way that we speak, through the way that we love people, or don't love people. Because there's no one that he doesn't love. Because he created it for one purpose, to have fellowship with himself. And I desire to see each and every one of you come into that place of total intimacy that perhaps even Moses had. Because it says that in Numbers 12:6, I think it is. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, speak to him in a dream. I make myself known to him in a vision, or vice versa, whatever that is. I'm paraphrasing. He says, but not so with my servant Moses. I speak with him face to face. In the Hebrew, that means, it's literally breath to breath. So it's like, you know, almost a kiss, so to speak. But it's intimacy. And so we can have that same intimacy with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what I desire with all my heart, is to have that kind of intimacy with him. So that I can have that kind of intimacy toward the body and love the body as he loves. As he loves the body. So I am part of the body. You are part of the body. And, you know, we so much need to come into that oneness of his Spirit. It has nothing to do with our doctrinal beliefs or what we think we should be doing or whatever. But the thing we should be doing, Pastor John, is pastoring the flock with love. With love. And then the other thing is to equip the saints, disciple those who need to be discipled, because there's going to be new ones coming in that need to be discipled. So there's a lot of disciples in here who love them and nurture them and bring them up in the ways of the Lord, you know. So I just admonish you and Pastor Evan over there to do that. And Pastor Evan, you have such an evangelical call on your life. I mean, you are just probably more of an evangelist than a pastor. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm not sorry to say that. I'm just saying the truth. So you guys have a team here that can work, and you can reach the lost, and you can go down and make the American Motel the greatest motel on earth in Denver, as it is in Denver, whatever. So I'm just trying to admonish you and encourage you this morning. Go, and be. You know, be who you're called to be in Him, and be a reflection. I remember my mentor used to say, we're simply introducers of Jesus Christ. That was my mentor many years ago when I was in my 20s. That's been a lot, maybe a couple of years ago at least. So, but we are to be introducers of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing I can tell you. And somehow I got into the prophetic ministry and I thought, whoa, look at me now. Yeah. I know things about people. Woo, hallelujah. I know nothing unless He reveals it. You know, because I was sharing last night that in Hebrews 1, chapter 1, I'm going to read that real quick, but we won't go there to talk about anything unless I'm led by the Spirit. I'm trying to be led by the Spirit this morning. I like the other translation better, but I'll read this one. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, many portions that He spoke to the fathers through the prophets, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. So every time we prophesy, it says in Revelation 19:10b that for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So every time we prophesy, we must be a full representation of Him and who He is in the new covenant, because we're not old covenant prophets. If we are, then we're really old, and I ain't going to be really old. But I got a prophecy this morning that I would be really old, but it would last a long time. I hate it when that happens. That means I'm really old. But no, I'm not confessing that. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. I just gained 20 years by confessing the right thing. So are y'all following me, or am I just kind of, I'm kind of scattered this morning, but, you know, I'm usually kind of scattered anyway. But you know what? When you're led by the Spirit, sometimes you seem scattered. But He's not scattered at all. I so love God this morning. I thank Him for His love. Without His love, I would be a mess. Whew. And y'all can see I'm not a mess. Come on. Hallelujah. But I got, I'm kind of jumping around Scripture this morning, but I think that's probably okay. Let me go to James chapter 2. Some of this is an admonishment for all of us, especially me, because I'm going back to a place where I don't have the freedom to do what I do here. Would you verify that, please, Catherine? Because she is also called Israel. And all the time that we've been back and forth from Israel, I think we met one time in Jerusalem by divine appointment. Hi. Oh, hi, Catherine. Oh, you're Rich Harris. Oh, yeah, that's right, I am. Yeah, you're Catherine. Where's James? It's in. Oh, it's right here. I got it. Yeah, those fingers, you know what? I have to lick them, sorry. But, you know, it's not gross. It's just that you got to lick your fingers to turn these Bible pages sometimes. That's why I like the computer. You just push a button. Boom, you're there. Sometimes you're somewhere else, but you want to be there, you know. You know, it's God so good this morning. Thank you, Father. James chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 10. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Hallelujah. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay. Am I at the right place? Yeah. Okay. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can't that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled. You know, that's what the church does sometimes. I'm not saying all of it, but sometimes they say, go in peace, get warm and be filled, and have a nice dinner if you can afford it, you know. So we need to reach out beyond ourselves, and I appreciate the hearts of those of you who have reached out beyond what we, the church, think is good for us. But you know what? It's not about being good for us. It's about being good for the whole world, for he came to save the world, not just the church. You know that. So anyway, that's not the scripture I wanted, but sorry. I'm looking for the scripture, if you can help me. You all know the word very, very, very well here. So I'm looking for the scripture where there's envy and strife in James. Oh, here it is. Right here, it's 3:14, the wrong one. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant, and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and strife and self-ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. For the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And that's what we're about. That's what we're about. That's what this whole thing is about. Peace starts first here in the house of God, and it spreads out from here to the world. And I'm not talking about peace against war, although that's a good thing. I'm talking about the peace which passes understanding. We have to have that kind of peace which passes understanding. And that's the kind of peace that we have with him when he is Lord of our life. And sometimes we think that automatically happens when we get born again, but guess what? I've been born again for a long, long time, and it's still a process I'm in. My soul is being saved. My spirit man is one with him. And I really, really, truly believe that. Because I've had soulish struggles most of my life. And before I came here, back to Colorado, I had to go to Texas to get delivered. Hallelujah. They deliver in Texas, you know. I was wanting to have a van here for our church that said, we deliver, you know. We don't have that yet, but we got someone here in the house who can deliver. And his name is Jesus. He dwells in each and every one of us. We need to seek that more and more and more, because this whole Christian life is a process. Is a process. And, you know, if I were perfect, I wouldn't be standing up here. I'd be up there. But I'm not. So I'm in the process of being made perfect. I'm in that process. And it's a process for each and every one of us. If there's anybody in here perfect this morning, I want to give you the microphone. You come on up and speak. Come on. Who is it? Who is it? Oh, okay. Sorry, Sherry. You're probably right. Can I go back to talking about the one new man we talked about last week? Is that okay with y'all? Because I think that's an ultimate purpose of God right now. And in the country where I am going, they really, really don't like that term too well. Because it says by one of their people, a Pharisee who got born again, There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female, but we're all one in him. So what does that really truly mean? It says Jew or Greek. So what about the Israeli? The Israeli is, here's what I believe. Jew is from the tribe of Judah. It's an acronym of the tribe of Judah. Judah came out of Israel, who was Jacob. Jacob was renamed Israel. And so the Jews come out of Jacob as one of the 12 tribes. So I think that Paul, really having an understanding, called himself an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin in some of the scriptures. So he was an Israelite. He didn't call himself a Jew. Called himself an Israelite. So he had the revelation of there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. And they're all one in whom? Whom are they one in? Christ, okay. So what image are we being conformed to? The image of a Jew? The image of a Gentile? The image of a Greek? You see, Gentile comes from the Hebrew word goy, which means nation. Goyim means nations. And the promise to Abraham was that he would be a father of goyim nations, not a nation. But he also became a nation, and it was called the nation of Israel, because that was how God changed his name, just as he changed the name from Abram to Abraham. He changed names for a purpose so that we'd have the proper identity. So one new man means that we come into that place of becoming one in him, having his mind, having his heart, having his likeness, having his love, having his power for the kingdom of God, not for the church. I get so sick and tired of the church saying, you know, we got to have the power, we got to have the power. You want the power? You got the power. Here's what the Lord told me many, many years ago, July 4th, 1991. I'll never forget it. And I'd been praying for a long time. Where's your power in the church, Lord? And I've told you this before, so hear it again, because it's good. It's good. He says, you want to know where my power is? I said, yes, Lord, I've been praying. Where's your power in the church? He says, my power is in my love. My love is in my son, and my son is in you. So that's where the power of God is, in his love. Nothing can be done for the glory of God except through his love, through his son, who is his love. He came on this earth to represent how we are to be on this earth. Because he's a reflection of the, he's a complete and total reflection of the Father. It says so in Hebrews chapter 1. So he's a reflection of the Father, the exact expression of the Father in everything. So when we're in him, we're also an exact expression of the Father, and that's what we're coming to be. And that's what I believe the one new man really truly is. And until Israel in their stubbornness, and I'm going to just say it because They're a bit more stubborn than we Gentiles, believe it or not. I don't know why, they just are. But I love them, and I hope that they don't hear this on YouTube or something, because they'll kill me. But anyway, I'm not afraid of that. I welcome it sometimes. This water will do it for you. Kidding. I'm not kidding. Anyway, this is so good when I get touched by the Holy Spirit, because sometimes I just have to listen and wait for him to tell me where to go. Be patient. I remember Graham Cook telling a story one time. He was being totally led by the Holy Spirit, and he came to this meeting, and they were expecting a word for the church, and Graham stood up there, and he just stood there, and he says, I was there for almost 15 minutes without saying a word, and the people were like, come on, do something. You're a prophet, you know. Come on, do something. So sometimes you're not supposed to speak until you're told to speak. Sometimes he just has you just shut up and be quiet, because we all got a lot to say. We all got an opinion about something, don't we? Yeah. So anyway, so there. So I want to say this too. And this is another admonition for y'all. There's a scripture, I don't know exactly where it is, but It says something like this: a house divided cannot stand. I'm going to tell you, this house will stand. This house will stand because we are in agreement on one thing, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only way to life in Him, life in God, life in understanding God. That's the most important thing that we can know. The most important thing that we can know. So when if we rebuild the foundation, I believe, is the one. And I started writing a book not long ago, and now I'm writing another book, which I'll say later. Not long ago, I started that book. So it takes a while to write a book, and this new book that I'm calling "Of the Two, He Created One New Man." That'll be the name of the book. And so I have more research notes than I have writing in the book so far. So that's a good start, I think. Anyway. So the foundation, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul had a lot to say to the Corinthians, didn't he? The first thing he told them in chapter 12, he says, do not be ignorant about the things of the Spirit. And if I said that to the church today, do not be ignorant about these things, they would like, well, who does he think he is telling us not to be ignorant? You know, he's probably ignorant himself. You know, so... We take offense too easily sometimes, and I know that I have done that in the past, but I'm getting too old to do that anymore, so just be cool, okay? Let me start here. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growths. So then there is the one who plants and the one who waters is nothing but God who causes the growth. So whether we plant or whether we water, God causes the growth. So God causes the growth of this fellowship, whether you plant or whether you water, whether you believe this or whether you believe that. He causes the growth. And I say that he wants this place to grow. He didn't give us all these chairs just for them to be empty. And they were a gift from God. I didn't pay a dime for them. You didn't pay a dime for them. One man donated the whole thing for these chairs. And so it was a God thing. Either that or he missed it. And I don't think he missed it. So, but he did miss some other things. Anyway, I'll say that. God bless him. Okay, where was I? So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. He was talking about the leadership of apostles and prophets and teachers, whatever, that they were the workers. And you are God's field, the church building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul knew he was a wise master builder because he was building on the right foundation. And wise master builders build only on the one foundation. For no man can lay a foundation, verse 11, other than that which one is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will be evident, become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. We're being tried by fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Whew. I would be careful how I build. I would be careful how I build. Because it will be tried with fire. And you know what? We don't like to hear those things, but we need to hear them. I'm telling you, so when I beat on the pulpit, you know I mean it. And God means it too. So I love you guys. So build on the right foundation. Build things right. And because what I've built here, if I've built anything here at all, what I've built will also be tried by fire because I wanted to build on the right foundation, and that is the foundation of Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Having been in architecture for many years, we lay a foundation, and in the old ways of building, before we had all these technical instruments and stuff, we would set the cornerstone on a foundation that was true and plumb, And then we set the cornerstone, which was true and plumb and upwardly and outwardly in all directions. And they built from that. They built upward, they built outward, they built inward, all from the cornerstone. So he's the chief cornerstone. If we don't build from him, then we're building imperfectly. So we have to remember that. It's very, very important and very vital. And so that's another thing I just wanted to share this morning because it's on my heart. And it breaks the heart of God when we don't build. When we build, and I'm seeing much in the church today that really disturbs me a lot. And I've been around a little time in my life. I've seen some things in the church that really bother me a lot. And one of the things is that there's so many new things coming in that I question are of God. And you see, if our spirit does not bear witness with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. If we're struggling with that, there's something wrong because God has not called us to struggle with things that are supposedly of God. But, you know, we have to discern those things. We have to know our God intimately so that we know that we know that we know that we're doing the right thing, going in the right direction, and representing him correctly. And if we have constant frowns on our face, we're not representing him correctly. We should be full of life, full of love, and like a light, because he is light, and he dwells in us, and we're to be like a light. He said, let your light, let your light shine. If you're a light and you sit on the top of a hill and you put something over that, then the light's gone. We can't put anything over that. We have to be that light. Where's your joy? Where's your joy? Because it says that he is our joy. You know, and I don't see a lot of joy sometimes. Even in myself, there's times I'm not joyful. I wonder why that is. Maybe I didn't walk something out that day. Maybe I let the flesh get in the way. I never do that. At least not intentionally, but it does happen. And sometimes you just want to pinch it and say, hey, wake up. Wake up. Pay attention to the one who's dwelling here. You are a dwelling place of the living God. Isn't that an amazing thing that we are a dwelling place of the living God? What an amazing thing he has given us. And we need to represent that correctly and truly so that the world may know that he came to save the world. You know, and I think we lack in that sometimes. I think our evangelical outreach in the church, for the most part, has been, except for Billy Graham and a few like that, has been fruitless. Now, I was once asked, who was your favorite current living person representing Jesus Christ? I said, Billy Graham. You know, because I think Billy was so close to living a true life in Christ. You know, I remember one night he was on Johnny Carson, if you ever remember who he was. I forgot who he was, but anyway. One night he was on Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson says, well, Billy, if you're pounding on a nail and you hit your finger, what are you going to say? Billy says, ouch. you know what we usually say when that happens. When we were in the flesh, we would say some things that, oh, yeah, well, I won't go there. But anyway, I just loved Billy Graham. I thought he was an amazing man of God. He had such a heart for the Lord, such a heart for the kingdom. And he brought many into the kingdom. And it was our responsibility to disciple them. And we missed that in a big way at some particular times. I'm thankful to God for the things that, and for the people that he's put in my life to help disciple me, to help equip me, to help encourage me, so that I would be focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is to live the life of Christ. And that's my desire. That should be our greatest desire, is to live that life to represent him fully and completely in every possible way. And I want to just say to my friends Deb and, what's your name again, sir?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you. Is that a sign of old age when you do that? I'm kidding. I'm not claiming that. Hallelujah. So anyway, these two guys have gone into a prison, and started churches in prisons with those who are in prisons as the leaders. And just, can you just share a moment? You only get 1 minute. I'm kidding. Can you just share? Good. Okay. I'll give you the mic. No, just share one moment what God has done in the prisons with the ministry that he's given you guys.
Well, we too believe that the walls, this is not the church. We went in, first of all, and told them that we're not bringing the church to you, that you are the church. And we groom them to become the church within the prisons and be the missionaries there to evangelize that mission field and raise up other leaders. So it took us a year, as you guys know, we've shared before here. It took us a year to not only uncover them so that they recognize who they were, but then to groom them and bring them up in as leaders in the church. Hallelujah. And one more thing, you know, I love Billy Graham too, and I think that because the kingdom of God, we're in a kingdom age now, and so instead of one man being an evangelist, he's gone now. I think that now we are all evangelists, and so the mantle has shifted. That's I believe what God's plan, kingdom age.
I just want to thank God for having friends like these two people who have kept me as a friend no matter how unfriendly I might have been at times. Yeah. Thank you, Aunt Randy. God bless you guys. But there are those that are sent to certain places to do certain things. And they've done a wonderful job. And I want the Lord to say to me someday, you did a wonderful job in Israel for what I've called you to do. So now I have to go back and do what I wasn't able to do the last time because of distractions of being around people who were full of fear. And, you know, we can't do this, we can't do this. Whenever you carry your Bible through our Bible study, put it in your backpack so the Haredim don't see you, you know, because they will get you out of the country, get you kicked out of the country. Well, you know what? My God is bigger than they are, and their disbelief and their unbelief of Yeshua, the Messiah. And I'm not going to worry about that anymore. It's just ridiculous. And I may have to, the Lord has given me specific instructions. Don't go back there to that particular group of people. Because he originally sent Tiki and I there to do a work. And now we are able to do that work. In fact, she sent me a scripture last night that, you know, had to do with the Holy Spirit and says, this is what we need for a rod. And I'm thinking, that's the dream that I had. God gave me a dream. And in the dream, I'm in the desert and I'm with an indigenous people. And I hear the Lord say, tell them to pray for the eagle to come. And I'm looking around and I don't see them, but I know they're there. And I'm in the desert. And so I says, pray for the eagle to come. They're looking at me, what's an eagle? What's an eagle? You know, for me, an eagle means the prophetic and move of the Holy Spirit. And so pretty soon they were praying, and then only a handful of them were. And then pretty soon along came a duck. And I says, that is not an eagle. You know, and ducks in dreams, I believe they kind of represent evil spirits, and things kind of roll off their back, and they have webbed feet, and they don't walk very well, and all that kind of stuff. They don't even fly well sometimes. But anyway, a duck is a duck, but an eagle is an eagle. So specifically, I heard the Lord in the dream again say, tell them to pray for the eagle to come. So I looked at him. I said, you need to pray for the eagle to come. And so finally, I saw this eagle in the dream. He was flying over the desert. I saw the shadow of his wings over the desert. And as I woke up a short time after that, and the Lord said this to me. He says, this is a rod and places near a rod. And a rod is where I live. It's near Beersheba. It's near the Dead Sea. And that's where I live. And then he said, I'm encouraging Tiki's heart because she was struggling with some things at that point. And she was in Switzerland about the time I had the dream. And I shared the dream with her. And she says, oh, my God, She says, God's been working in my heart. He said, I'm working in Tiki's heart. He says, God's been working in my heart. It's good for me to be here in Switzerland because it's quiet and I don't have to pay attention to all the stuff in Jerusalem where we lived at the time. So anyway, that was an encouraging dream for me. And so we knew that we were called to go there, both of us, because we had talked about it. She was the first one who took me to Arad. She took me all over Israel, showed me the whole land, everything I needed to see. I've even been to Shiloh. Hello. Not many people know that Shiloh even exists and that it's an important place and that the temple and the tabernacle was in Shiloh for, I think, 392 years, something like that. And that was an important place, and that's where the prophets were. And I got to go to Shiloh to get some more prophetic anointing. You don't have to go to Shiloh to get prophetic anointing. It comes from the prophet Jesus, the Son of God, who is the ultimate prophet in the New Testament. He's our only example. And he is the Word. So in the New Testament, Jesus is the prophetic Word of God. He's the Word of God. He's the living Word of God. He's everything that God is. I so love him, and I'm thankful that I have a relationship with him. It's a mighty and powerful thing. I know I was going to get talk about the one new man, wasn't I? All right. Hallelujah. How much time do I have left? Not much. What's that? 40 more years, Lord? Okay, fine. I got 40 more years. Can you handle that? Okay, let's go for it. Why not? Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and he had a lot of years, 300 and some years. So, you know, I did something really, really terrible a few years ago. I want to tell you about it. I'm going to confess my sin right now. I read the book of Enoch. Hallelujah. You know what? And there's a lot of things in there that are of God. It even speaks about the Son of God in the book of Enoch and many other things that we can relate to in the New Testament, which is pretty amazing. And we rejected that from the canon of Scripture for some reason. But actually, in the Israeli Museum, there's the Isaiah 53, which they don't use. It's there in the museum behind glass. Yeah, it's right there in front of them. This is Isaiah 53. We found it in the Dead Sea Scrolls or wherever they found it. I don't remember. And then they also have a section. This is a part of the Book of Enoch. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Why is that in your museum? You know, and so anyway, God has many things that we do not know yet, that we do not understand. And so I pray that we can seek him through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I remember one thing. When I was in my 20s, I was reading the Word. And I was in the book of John. And it said, "And the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said to you." So I says, "Lord, I want that. I want that." So I got it, you know. And he's been teaching me ever since and leading me ever since. You know what? The Holy Spirit never disagrees with the Father or the Son because they're one. So why are we disagreeing with things when we're one? I'm just asking, just saying, let's investigate our own hearts. Let's investigate our own hearts before we judge someone or something that we don't quite understand. And let's not compare ourselves among ourselves because Paul says that's not wise. So let's stop comparing ourselves among ourselves because it's not wise. And because we're all being conformed to only one image. And that's the image of Living Word Ministries. I'm kidding. It's the image of Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God. Jake, it's wonderful to see you, my brother, and your lovely wife. How are you? Yes, bless you guys. So, anyway, here I am. I'm just going to read a few scriptures here, if you don't mind, because that's the Word of God, so I'm preaching from Scripture. Okay, there seems to be a bit of controversy amongst the Jews and amongst us about some certain things. So I want to just bring some, hopefully bring some clarity about that, that this is not just me, but it's not just the church, but they also have a controversy with what I'm going to read. But it is the Word of God. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or Mashiach, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." That's an important thing. For the Jew first, and for the Greek also. He says, then in Romans 2:10 through 11, it says, "But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who continuously works what is good, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." And that's the part we all miss. There's no partiality with God. Jew or Greek, whatever. There's no partiality with God. No partiality with God. I mean, that's pretty darn clear to me. So, it says, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We know what we worship." That's a Jew speaking. His name is Jesus. He says, "We know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews." John 4:22. See also verses 23 and 24. Then in Romans 11, which is one of my favorite portions of Scripture concerning all this mess that they don't believe and that we don't believe, or that we can't get our hearts right with this thing because we need to. It's very, very important. If the Jews weren't important to God, he wouldn't have sent people like myself and Catherine over there to do certain things. But I want to say something to you, Catherine. The way you worship here, do you have that freedom over there? Only in the house of prayer, because you can't go to a Messianic congregation and have that kind of freedom to worship. And it needs to change. Hallelujah. Not that we want to change them and make them like us Christians, because they don't want to be like us Christians. We don't want to be, we're not called to be Messianic Jews, and they're not called to be Christians. We're called to be one new man in him, to glorify him, to glorify the whole kingdom of God everywhere that we go. So, only in the house of prayer, which was set up for that particular purpose, to worship God 24/7. Yes, they also have them in Israel. Yes. So therefore, Romans 11, verse 11, "Therefore remember that you once Gentiles, or Goyim, nations in the flesh, were called the uncircumcision by those who are called circumcision." By the way, when circumcision is done in the flesh, it was something that they were told to do. But also in the Old Covenant, it also says that the most important thing is the circumcision of the heart. That's in the Old Covenant as well as the New. But just so you know that, it's a circumcision of the heart. Who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made by flesh, by the hands. And at that time, you Gentiles, Goyim, or nations, were without Christ. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, that being the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Now listen, there are many over there who do not believe in Yeshua, and it's really, really unfortunate. But there are many right here in this nation who do not believe in Yeshua Jesus. And that's also very... So the only way we're going to change that is by helping them come into the kingdom, by being a source of his life, as his love, as his power, and bringing those other nations into the one nation of the one new man. And it's not necessarily Israel, but it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. And I'm so, so desiring to see that happen, because in my lifetime, I want to see that happen. I want to see that come forth. That's more important to me than peanut butter. I don't like peanut butter. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, and who has made both one. And that's the intention. That's part of the restoration of all things, by the way. And has broken down the middle wall. He has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And let me just say something about that. There is the Torah, which is the written Torah, which is a written Torah. And then there's the oral Torah, which comes down from tradition. And the oral Torah was originated in when they were in captivity in Babylon because they had no written Torah. So the oral Torah came from tradition. It was handed down from rabbi to rabbi to rabbi to rabbi. It's now called, it's part of the Mishnah, which is the Talmudic teachings. And that's what they go by in Israel. So they're in error. They're in error. And you can tell that they're in error because their hearts are hard. I did a painting the other day. Did you all see that painting called Love, the Melting Pot of the Heart? And I remember, and I just called it that because it came to mind at the moment. And then the actual painting should be Ezekiel 37, I think it is, where it says that I will take the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I may change the name of that painting. So anyway, it's going to Israel with me. That's not a big deal. I don't know. I just thought I'd mention it. Just have something to say. It's made us one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, the separation that's between us. And he came and preached to you, the Gentile, or the Goyim, nations, who were far off, and to those who were near, the Jews, if you will. And remember, the Jews are one of the 10 tribes of Judah. Jews comes from, it's an acronym coming from Judah. So when the separation came, when Israel was separated, there were two tribes that stayed in the south, in Judea, in Jerusalem, and that was Judah and Benjamin, and the other 10 tribes went north, and they're known as the Lost 10 tribes. So where are they? If they're lost, where are they? They're lost, and they are without God in the world, and so. I can ask any Jew, most any Jew in Israel, what tribe are you from? And they will either say Judah or I don't know. So who's the lost tribes? Where are they? Why is God concerned about that? And there's a teaching in Israel that's not a very popular teaching. It's called the two houses. And God is very specific in the Hebrew scriptures, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. So there's two houses, and they also need to become one house. God prophesies, and I think it's Ezekiel, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's Jeremiah, that he will make them one stick in his hand. He'll make them one people in his hand. So they also are Goyim nations, and they were scattered when they went north. They got scattered. They were scattered, and God allowed that to happen. And the enemy scattered them to try to dissipate the bloodline. But through Yeshua, that bloodline has come back. Because when we're in him, we're in his bloodline. And Evan shared that this morning during communion. And I really believe that his blood was more than just shedding the blood. That we inherit that blood because we are joint heirs with him. Joint heirs with him. Now, maybe 20 years from now, I'll look at this and I'll say, well, I was teaching error. God will give me something, some new revelation. So just go with whatever your heart feels. To you who were far off and to those who were near, the Jew, for through him we have one access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you who are in Christ are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And members of the household of God. What is the household of God? Both Jew and Gentile who come into Yeshua, into Christ. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets. Now this is where we need to go back to this. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There's so much stuff in the church today that's not built on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And I'm sorry to say that, but there are churches that are going off on this direction and off on that direction, off on this direction, and they're forgetting the direction that they need to be going and focusing on the face and heart and life of Yeshua HaMashiach. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Thomas was saying, Father, show us the Father. He says, Father, have you been with me so long that you don't know the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you've seen Jesus, if you know Jesus, you know the Father. Because he and the Father are one, just as he and the Spirit are one. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't disagree with the rest of the Godhead. If you look at John 16, 13 through 15, I'm giving you an assignment here to study this out because this is deep, deep stuff. John 16, 13 through 15. It talks about the relationship of the Godhead and how important the Holy Spirit is in that relationship. And that he only speaks what he hears. Now, who's he going to hear from? The congregation? No. He's going to hear from the Father and the Son because they cannot disagree ever because they're one. It's just like when you have a beautiful, beautiful marriage, and in that beautiful marriage, you know there's a oneness that you just can't describe in everything that you do together. There's a oneness that's just beyond imagination or measure, if you will. I think I experienced that with my late wife. And I knew that oneness. And I knew the importance of that. And I pray that I can experience that again. So the whole building, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We're to grow into a holy temple in the Lord. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the living God. In whom you also, being built together, Jew and Gentile, for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now listen, I can't preach this freely in Israel, only in certain places. And so that's why Tiki and I are starting whatever God wants to do in her home. And it's starting very soon. And we had a good long talk last night. She actually called while I was teaching here, and I had to give it to John. So anyway, but I called her after I got done here. We had a good long conversation about what God wants to do in Israel, in Arad. Why Arad? I have no idea. It's just where he called us, you know. Oh yeah, I forgot about the artist. Yeah, thank you, brother. Hallelujah. The artist. Yeah, so in the dream I had, it was not just about the Holy Spirit coming, but I was working in the desert with art and artifacts. And where I live is not far from the caves of Qumran, where many of the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. I'm just a few miles from there. I mean, I could walk it in a day, very carefully. And so I knew that I was to connect with the art community in Arad. I didn't know there was an art community in Arad, but there's a whole portion of the city. It's outside of the city slightly, of a beat-up, worn-down warehouses where the art colony is. And there's one believer that I've met. There's maybe others, but they're artists. And isn't it interesting that suddenly God restored my heart for art? And so Rick Weineke, Fountain of Tears. Go on online and look up Fountain of Tears, Rick Weineke, and you'll see the most amazing sculpture that you've ever seen in your life. And it's all about the Holocaust and the Holocaust Jews. And it's a great representation. And many of the religious people come there on a tour sometimes, and they tear up because they don't really know what that's all about. But there's actually some representation of the cross, but it's not the cross. And you'll see it. Just go online, look up Fountain of Tears, Arad, Israel, and you'll see a really beautiful presentation of God's heart for the Jews and for the Holocaust survivors. And by the way, please pray for me as I go back because I'm going to be working with Holocaust survivors, which is very dear to my heart. And I have no idea how I'm going to do that. But I talked to the lady who's the head of the ministry, and I told her about what God gave me a revelation to teach them to express themselves through abstract art with color, shapes, composition, and all kinds of things. Because for me, when I started doing it again, it became a great therapy. I had peace, and God was in it because people actually liked my stuff. And I thought, oh, my God, maybe it is good for me to go back to art. You know, so, I don't know, but, you know, I'm thankful for Sammy. I'm thankful for Colleen. I'm thankful for Josephine and everybody who's put, and my sister here, everybody who's put their heart into art to express the love and creativity of God. Because I really think that's what this whole art show is about, and that we can represent him through all of that. You know, sometimes a lot of prophetic artists want to draw pictures of Jesus or represent the Holy Spirit. And that's really a wonderful thing because it is an expression of God's love. And people sometimes see Jesus in so many different ways. And so I think that we can show him through any of the creative things that he got us to do. And I want to say one thing else. I'm getting tired. I'm getting long-winded here. I want to say one more thing. I want to say something about the worship artist here. Those who are up here singing and playing the instruments, that also is an art. It is an art. We need to remember that. So they are sensitive people who have been given instruments to make beautiful sounds of worship to the Lord and to write beautiful lyrics in worship to the Lord. I don't know what you were singing this morning, but I hadn't heard them before. It was good. Did you write them? Well, you should have. You should have. This guy's written a lot of songs, and I kept encouraging him, do your songs. Do your songs, man. Oh, well, okay. You know. And he did for a while, and then, do your songs, John. Now I mean it this time.
I did one today.
I mean it this time, okay? God bless you. He's a good man. So anyway, has any of this helped anybody? Or yeah, okay, well, good. It helped me a lot to be able to express myself. And I just want to say one more time, this is a prophetic word for y'all. This is a prophetic word for Living Word. I love you. I love you. I'm talking about God loving you. This is, I'm speaking from the heart of Jesus here. And he's saying, I love you. I love you. Ed and Deb, we've been a long journey on this. They were with the first, they were the first two that came to Gail and I. And I think, I don't know if it was you, Debbie, or somebody said, why can't we just be a church? I thought, well, that's not a bad idea. And Gail says, I don't want to pastor a church. I said, well, neither do I. So God bless you all for hanging in there. You know, it's just been amazing. 1800, yeah.
What's the scripture that she shared with you last night, Kiki, that you never shared that?
I didn't? No. Well, let me share that. Right here. I'll get it for you. John 20. John 20, 19 through 23. We all know this scripture, but it's what God put in her heart, and she says this, good morning, John 20, 19 through 23, for a rod. Very to the point, that girl. Yeah. John 20, 19 through 23. Let me read it here. Make sure I got the right place. When, therefore, it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. Ooh, that's a bad one. For fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples were therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. As the Father has sent him, he also sends us. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, their sins have been retained. So that's what Tiki got as she was studying on Shabbat, because that's all she does on Shabbat. She just studies the Word and worships the Lord. Doesn't work, doesn't do anything, because that's what Shabbat's for, basically, a day of rest. And that's really all it's for, is the day of that we can rest. God rested, so he wants us to rest. And we need to learn to rest in him. We really need to learn to rest in him, because we're so busy on Saturdays and Sundays doing things for God. It's time to rest, so rest, you know, before you get arrested. Anyway, that's why that was it. Thank you for asking. I forgot about that. So pray for me as I go. I'm leaving Thursday at 10 a.m. No, just wait a minute. I'm not. Yeah, you can pray for me whenever, but let me just finish here. Because this is going to be new for me, ministering to the Holocaust survivors with a ministry that I don't know that well, but it could get me 9 months in Israel without having to worry about coming in and out, which is really something I don't want to be doing all the time, because they don't enjoy that and they don't like it much. That's what I was told, and that's the fear that I had. So I have to go back without that fear that I'm going to get kicked out of Israel, you know. Well, God sent me there, and if he wants me kicked out, he himself will kick me out, nobody else. So anyway, that makes sense. Okay, so pray for me about that. Pray that I have wisdom in what I say and where I say it, and that Tiki and I will have wisdom to do the home group in her home. And she wants to invite the Haredim. Can you believe it? I'm thinking, you want to get us killed? But she's not afraid of the Haredim. She grew up in a religious family, so she understands all of that much more than I do. She knows their hearts. She knows that their heart can be softened, because her heart was softened. She came to Yeshua many years ago. So anyway, this is a good thing for us. And also pray that she's coming back with me next year. We want to speak in some conferences, and we want to share some of her jewelry, and hopefully by then I'll be a real artist and, you know, be able to do stuff. So had lunch with a man the other day who said, you could make a living at this. You know, I'm thinking, that's why I dropped it years ago, because I thought, I can't make a living at this. I'll be a starving artist. And I didn't want to starve. You know, so anyway, thank you, ma'am. I think that's about all I got. Is that enough? Okay, so you still love me? Okay, that's a good thing. Do remember that 7 years ago on this day, Gail went home to be with the Lord. So we thank God for her. Yeah, I know y'all do. So do I. So may God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and set you free. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. And I believe that we all need freedom from something that we're struggling with. And so we can all get to that place. And I love you, and may God bless you. And I'll keep you in my prayers. I'll try to be a better father to the house. Whatever that means. Okay? God bless you. Thank you so much for listening and for hosting me this past month. Okay, Pastor.